The thought of being a popular keynote speaker at international conferences is appealing to many people, and career-wise, certainly a very smart move. But if the very thought of being on stage in front of a sea of faces fills you with fear and trepidation, this episode is for you. We'll deep dive into the world of public speaking, and I'll share my own personal experiences, the good, the bad, and the downright cringeworthy. Welcome to the Experts Speak English podcast. Together we'll discover how to talk yourself into an international career without the bullshit. And at the end of each episode, I give you an opportunity to try out what you have just learned on the show, because I give you Coco's Communication Challenge. And that gives you an opportunity to get out there and try out one of the tools, techniques, or tips that you will have heard on the show. I'm Corinne Wilhelm. I'm a corporate communication coach with over 20 years of experience of helping leaders to secure the career that they deserve through intentional communication, intercultural awareness, and the confidence to show up as the English speaking expert. So let's get cracking, shall we? Getting onto the stage for the first time as a non-native speaker will feel intimidating. That's not you, it's the situation. This is not an indication of whether you are old enough, knowledgeable enough, or experienced enough to be on the stage. You were vetted and selected a long time ago, and you are the one that they want on that stage. So please, don't waste nervous energy on a decision that was made long ago. If you haven't listened to the last episode, that's episode 173, then I suggest you stop me now, go back and listen to that, then come back a little bit later, because I give you a lot of the groundwork and follow-up advice that's important for you to get the most out of a conference. Now, the last show is called Preparing for an International Conference as a Non-Native Speaking Participant. It's episode 173. Now, before you even get to the conference, I recommend that you focus on four things. Number one, clarify your objectives. Number two, craft your message. Number three, rehearse and get honest, constructive feedback from somebody who has your best interests at heart. And create a connection, this is number four, create a connection with your audience and the organisers. So let's start with number one, clarifying objectives. Whether this is your first conference as a speaker or not, we need to discuss the importance of setting really clear objectives for the keynote presentation and how to align them with the conference theme. Be sure to be in close contact with the conference organisers to get complete clarity about who will be in your audience, what their level of knowledge is, and if they are decision makers or not. You'll get a much better idea or a clearer idea by promoting the conference yourself. By using the hashtag and creating some excitement about the event, you'll get a feel for who will be there. Remember the basics like where and when it is. You'll be surprise how many people forget that in these posts and what they can expect. Connect with other speakers and perhaps arrange to meet them for dinner on the night beforehand. This will give you an opportunity to shape the structure and focus of your keynote speech. It doesn't mean you have to feel intimidated by them or copy them. It's about optimizing the experience for the delegates. There is a fantastic book that I would like to recommend to you if you are interested in doing more speaking work, either as an employee or as an expert in your own right. And the book is called The Referable Speaker by Andrew Davis and Michael Port. It's a pleasure to read and it's packed with information. So, number two is crafting the message. To develop a compelling and relevant keynote speech that really resonates with your audience, you'll need to know your audience in advance. Clearly, you won't know exactly who will be watching and listening, but you need to do your homework here. Otherwise, your message might fall flat. And I can tell you from experience that being on the stage with the feeling that you have practiced the wrong speech for the wrong people will make you feel completely ridiculous. It's embarrassing. So it pays to invest your time in finding out about the event,
the topics that your audience are interested in,
the typical trends and scenarios that they will resonate with, and how they speak. I'm thinking about the formality of the average conference delegate. It doesn't matter that this is not your native language. It does matter that you are passionate and knowledgeable about your topic. This is showtime for the nerd in you, so be brave enough to take them along for the ride. Speak in a language that is easy to follow. Even if you know all the fancy terms, that makes you more approachable and relatable. Number three is rehearsal and feedback. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of practicing your presentation or speech and seeking feedback to refine your delivery and content. The thing is this, when we practice alone in silence in our office or living room, wherever, it all seems to run smoothly. It's only when you're in front of real people speaking out loud that you hear the sections of your speech that looked great on paper but just don't flow. At the venue, overcome your self-consciousness and practice walking onto the stage. Find your space, test the tech, and if you feel more comfortable, bring your own microphone or speaker headset. Very often for the women, the speaker headset is too big, and then what happens is the audio is really terrible, which makes you look unprofessional. So if you want to have more confidence, then bring your own equipment and make sure that the tech team know about it well in advance so that you can test it out. Talking of comfort, it's important to not just look the part, but to feel the part too. Your level of comfort and confidence is influenced by what you wear. The female performers listening might want to think carefully about your shoes. If you are clunky about on the stage, that will be distracting for your audience and will restrict how you take advantage of the space on the stage. It will limit the amount of walking around you do on the stage. So softer soles are more forgiving. Your shoes can be just below eye level for those at the front, so make sure that they are polished and clean. When choosing what to wear, choose something that tends to earn you compliments and boosts your confidence. If you want to make a dynamic impression, wear something bold and modern. If you want to make a more serious impression for a conventional audience, your style should reflect that. And make sure that you can move around freely.
Remember also to have a dry run or a dress rehearsal, wearing what you will be wearing on the stage. You realise that if you reach up, for example, and your gut shows or something, it will make you feel self-conscious. So that's why you have to do a dress rehearsal, either at home on a video or in front of somebody else who will give you honest feedback. And of course, we're all getting older, so our body changes and we might need to have a slightly different style to the one that we used to get away with when we were younger.
If you're not much of a style diva or hate shopping, then invest in an expert to help you. I'll put Lisa Marie Pippus in the show notes, and she is great at working with women of all shapes and sizes to show up as a true professional in their own way. Number four is, and this is the final one, is to create a connection. A perfect speech with no personality will not come over well. And that's when people start checking the agenda, scrolling on their phone, or start talking to fellow delegates. Distracting, at best. You have to earn their respect. And to do that, you have to create a connection with your audience. Talk about what resonates with them professionally. Look at every single person in the eye and use storytelling, anecdotes and examples to pull them into your message like a pro. A knowledge-packed, dull presentation is disrespectful and career self-sabotage. The way to get more speaking opportunities is to be a great speaker on and off the stage. If you are easy to work with, reliable and a crowd pleaser, you will get recommendations and more stage time. During the conference, first of all, I want you to think very, very carefully about engaging the audience. I would like to share three strategies for capturing and maintaining the audience's attention during the keynote address or speech. There are more, of course, and you know, you can sign up for communication coaching with me. I will get you trying up to 30 techniques for size. But let's start with three really simple and effective ways to engage with your audience, whether your keynote is at an in-person conference, academic conference, or an online conference. Number one, start strong. Number two, string them along with storytelling. Number three, sting or stroke them with your call to action. So number one then, start strong. All too often, the first three slides are all me, me, me. Who cares, dude? Pack your ego in your pocket and get to what's in it for your audience. They don't care about who you are, not yet. They care about whether it's going to be worth their time. So get to the point and crack on. Get their attention before they zone out and lose interest. Grab their attention with a provocative statement, fact, or question. Get them thinking. Before you actually start speaking, though, I want you to go onto the stage, gain your space, take in the audience, and then start. Very often, people dive into their presentation without even giving people the chance to even acknowledge that you're on the stage. So have that little moment of silence before you start. Get their attention. Okay, so string them along with storytelling. A lot of people associate storytelling with those bedtime stories that you tell the little people in your life. But storytelling is the most effective form of knowledge management that is responsible for our evolution. Never, ever underestimate the power of storytelling. And if you want to tailor your presentation to adapt to many different audiences, which is a smart thing to do, then having a few alternative stories to string them along and welcome them into your nerdy world will make your time on the stage more enjoyable, more inspiring, and more effective. If you're interested in finding out more about storytelling and analogies, I have two episodes about that. They are episodes 125 and 127. So the third one then was sting them or stroke them with your call to action. As your keynote presentation or speech draws to a close, be sure to go out with a bang. Leave them with something to think about. Say something that gets them to take action. Change a behaviour or change their mindset. This is what will fire your applause. At the end of the speech, when you are given an applause, allow that to happen. Soak it up. Because not acknowledging that applause by racing off the stage is actually a little bit disrespectful. And you've worked hard for this. So just soak it up. It gets easier with practice. Okay, so the next one I want to talk to you about is networking opportunities. Attending a conference is always a great opportunity to meet lots of experts at once, and yet many presenters, keynote speakers, and panelists just show up, hit the stage, and leave. This means low to no opportunity to mix with and learn from other professionals in your industry. There are many benefits of networking with attendees, organisers and other speakers during the conference. So preserve your energy so that you can engage in and enjoy those conversations. You simply never know who you will meet, what you will learn, or where you could end up next as a keynote speaker. So stick around long enough to be approachable and authentic. And later in the show, you will hear firsthand how I messed up with my first speech as a non-native speaker in German. Managing nerves. Before sharing some words of advice about managing pre-presentation nerves and maintaining confidence on stage, I need you to know that the nervousness is what will give your presentation spark. That's what makes it work. And that shows that you are ready to be in front of the audience. To help you understand the power of nervousness, think about the last presentation that you went to, where the presenter had zero nerves. Maybe it was your boss. Maybe it was somebody who you work with, who thinks he knows what he's talking about, but actually just likes to hear himself speak. Those presentations are often dull and pointless. They have often been given time and time again, using the same slides and the same script. And if you're really unlucky, the same dreadful dad jokes. Nervousness shows that you value and respect the time of your audience. It's a good thing. You just need to convert that nervous energy into upbeat anticipation. Nobody in the audience is waiting for you to fail. The audience is looking forward to hearing what you have to say. So to prevent anxiety from crippling your authenticity, you have to practice. Think carefully about everything you say. Is it clear? Does it make sense? Is it easy to understand? And ultimately, you want to make them think, remember? So don't get people confused by using abbreviations that they are not familiar with or terms that are very kind of part of your world but not necessarily part of theirs. Record yourself giving the presentation. And what I tend to do is I record myself giving the presentation and then I sit down and listen to the recording. And each time I put myself in the shoes of one of the following four people. So I do this four times. The first time I listen, I take the role of decision maker with dollars to spend. This is the person who will be evaluating your content, delivery and stage presence, but also how you handle questions and time with other conference delegates, both before and after your keynote. Are you going to be easy to work with? The second time I listen, I'll pretend to be the new hire or the newbie who is still learning lots every day. They'll be struggling with acronyms, unsure of how things are connected and feeling a bit insecure. This can be a seasoned expert who has changed industries, or it can be that interim manager or the new hire straight from college. Third time I listen, I'm taking the role of conference organizer. They'll frown if you oversell. They will cringe if your jokes are not politically correct, and they will raise their eyebrows if you go over time. The fourth and final time I listen is the non-native speaker. I'll put myself in their shoes, the person who might be struggling to keep up, particularly if I've used lots of colloquial language or idioms. Those that are unfamiliar with your culture might be irritated by your communication style or offended by your humour, so I try and listen to it from their point of view as well. Remember that each individual is different, and clearly you cannot please all of the people all the time. But by appealing to different personality types, you will appeal to most of the people most of the time, which in terms of getting more credibility, recommendations and stage time, that's what counts. Communication is about putting yourself in the shoes of those that you are speaking to and making yourself easy to understand and interact with. So don't cut corners on this. Take the time to put yourself in the shoes of your audience. As a seasoned Toastmaster and judge of speaking contests, I can assure you that most people speak on stage much faster than intended. Nerves seem to put us on turbo. It's nervousness, a tension that puts a barrier between yourself and the audience. To avoid alienating your audience, indulge them with small pauses and a deliberate silence after a significant point to let them process what you have said and see how it could make an impact on them. To practice your speech, it's a good idea to edit your speech with pauses and breaks using different lines, colours, whatever you need to, so that your script nudges you when to move towards the audience or take a step back. I, for example, use emojis to tell me exactly when to increase and decrease my voice, when to lean in, etc. When to take a prop or utilise body language, but use your body language very intentionally. What you need to avoid doing is things like hand-wringing, holding onto the podium for dear life, or flapping your arms around with no relevance to your words or message. Now, these are the things that you will need feedback on. You simply don't notice yourself doing these things until you've watched a video of yourself. These are distracting and they're taking attention away from your message. Those of you that are at Toastmasters will already have a safe space in which to practice and get hardcore feedback. For the rest of you, find an honest friend or colleague with speaking experience, or if that makes you feel self-conscious, work with a coach at a time, pace, and place to suit you, whether it's me or someone else. After the conference. If after the conference you feel that you could make a smoother, more polished performance next time, then there are a couple of options available to you. And only by trying them out will you know which one is right for you.
If you feel that fluency is your problem, that you're sounding robotic or wooden or stilted, then it might well be that you need to really work on your English as a whole, like in terms of vocabulary, pronunciation, grammar, the whole thing. And I have a few ideas coming up for you in the next episode for both you and, if you don't want your children to feel so self-conscious about their English, a couple of ideas for them too.
You might want to address a public speaking course, either in your own language or in English, to practice the skills that you need to really make a good impression. And actually, even if you're not a member of Toastmasters, they have something called the Toastmasters Fast Track. It's a quick, easy, convenient and free program that you can work through in your own time. It's an online course and, you know, it helps you to just learn the basics, really. And it looks specifically at special preparation, vocal variety and body language. So three of the basics to get you going. You can find it at toastmasters.org/resources/toastmasters-fast-track. And I'll put that in the show notes as well, of course. You can choose from in-person workshops or coaching services, ideally one that caters specifically to non-native speakers. This will help you to build confidence and skills at the same time as networking with like-minded professionals. In terms of practicing pronunciation, I was going to add some tips here, but I soon realised that a webinar would be a much more logical and effective approach to show you. So if you're interested, there will be a link to the show notes at englishspeakingexperts.com/webinars. I'll show you how to expand your vocabulary, understand cultural nuances, and overcome common challenges faced by non-native speakers. The webinar is called Showing Up on Stage as the English Speaking Expert. So, following up actions. I really need to discuss now the importance of following up with attendees and organisers after the conference to nurture relationships and explore potential opportunities. Make sure that you repurpose the speech, and to do that, it's better to make the edits as soon as you can while they're fresh in your mind. Leverage your experience. Explore ways to leverage the exposure and credibility gained from delivering a keynote speech at an international conference. And finally, I simply must emphasise the importance of authenticity, passion and connecting with the audience rather than perfecting your English. As a non-native speaker, speaking for the first time, and believe me, I speak from experience, it is very easy to get distracted by the language issues, when actually you need to focus on your stage presence and the content. I don't know about you, but I often used to find it tempting to focus on the creative task of perfecting the slides. The truth is, and deep down you know this, I guess, it's procrastination, which tends to come up if you feel uncomfortable about actually practicing the speech. But it is this speaking, saying the words, this speaking part in the rehearsal stage and optimization that will make a difference. The slides will play a role, but not as much as your performance. This is going back a long time. My first speech in German as a non-native speaker was when I was very young. It was over 20 years ago, and e-learning or online learning were just becoming a thing. And there was an e-learning day in Hamburg, where I was living at the time. I'd recently qualified as an online trainer, and because I was one of the first in Germany with this certification and was already working internationally with remote teams, I was asked to speak about the problems and pitfalls of online learning. I was flattered and immediately accepted because this was something I could nerd out about easily. I hadn't really thought about the stage, the lights and the expectant audience at this stage. Typical Coco, say yes, then work it out. So I was surrounded by an older audience and felt very much out of my depth. Most of the presenters were white male German professors in badly fitting suits, and I knew that my future as a speaker would be influenced by the ratings at the end of the event. So I was determined to make a strong impression, despite feeling horrendously out of place. I started with a question, getting them to sit up and think. It was provocative and was designed to put the cat amongst the pigeons.
And when I say cat amongst the pigeons, what I mean is stirring things up a bit, being a little bit controversial.
I was going to reverse engineer the problems and pitfalls, and my audience was going to be a part of that discovery. It was one of those top or flop situations. I came in with rather too much cocoa energy on reflection. Perhaps I should have built up slowly, but I could see people tuning in as their slouch turned into sitting up straight, then leaning forward, as I tried to gain eye contact with as many people in the audience as possible in that 20 minutes. My slides were visual, hardly any text, focusing on the emotions driving effective online learning. I talked about the challenges of time zones for remote teams spread between three continents. I described how that showed up for me. The cultural paradigms that can knock a trainer off balance. And the very real problem at that time of measuring e-learning. The talk was a success because I got people involved. I got the best reviews of all, despite being the only non-native speaker on that stage, and I was the youngest person there. But it was a flop. Let me tell you why. I was so nervous that I couldn't really interact with conference delegates before my session. I was paranoid about using do instead of Z. And after the session, I was so relieved to be finished that I dashed to the toilets and kind of hid. I didn't get any photos or video footage of me on stage. I didn't really network and engage during the rest of the day, even though I'm normally really comfortable doing that. And I certainly didn't follow up. I hardly collected any business cards, actually. So I had a great performance, but I didn't give myself the opportunity to take advantage of that. So do you see how this is so much more than just the time on the stage? So I learned this lesson the hard way. Come with the time and mindset to connect with your audience both during and after the event, ideally beforehand too. You can make other mistakes. Don't make that one. So follow-up actions. It's essential to follow up with attendees and organisers after the conference to nurture relationships and explore potential opportunities. Maybe they know somebody who would love the way that you speak. Sharing any photos with them is much appreciated, and of course you will want to actively search for feedback on your speech. That shows that you are committed to improving your performance next time. Reflecting on the experience. Find a quiet space after your performance and sit there, you know, with your script and your slides in front of you and any notes that you made immediately afterwards, and really try and adapt your speech so that next time you can dust it off and adapt it for your new audience. And think carefully about what went well and what didn't. By reflecting on your performance as a speaker, you can improve your speech. Make the changes immediately while they're fresh in your mind, and add notes to your script to document your observations. I always put them right underneath the script, so I've got everything together. Proactively gather feedback for future improvements from a range of different people, ideally. Leverage the experience. In terms of time effectiveness, think about ways that you can repurpose your speech, little sections of it, or the whole thing. Perhaps by adding insights from the conference, create a LinkedIn post, or maybe even create something for your in-house social media platform. It makes sense to leverage the exposure and credibility gained from delivering a keynote speech at an international conference, so be deliberate about it and don't put it off. Schedule time to do the follow-up the day you get back, or before you travel home if you have allowed yourself the time in your schedule. I talked about that in the last episode. So show some social media love to the organisers and support them in your post-event promotion. not just by liking, but adding valuable insights to the comments, sharing those posts, etc. Use the hashtag and make sure that you tag those professionals that you met by connecting with them before you make the post. Make sure that you do all of this as soon as possible after your performance on stage. Create time for this, schedule it in, and prioritize it. I've noticed personally that the faster I follow up, the more impact that has. So clearly there's a lot more to becoming a popular keynote speaker, but if you are an action taker, then Coco's communication challenge for this episode of Expert Speak English is to seek opportunities for you to speak. Whether you start small by visiting a local BNI meeting and introducing yourself, or are more courageous, my preferred approach, is to seek opportunities. Because until people have heard you speak, nobody even knows you. So find some speaking opportunities and start being intentional about showing up in front of event organisers, either as a workshop presenter, on a panel, or as a keynote speaker. Like anything in life, your first performances will be experiments, and they won't always work as you want them to, but it's an opportunity to learn and grow as a professional. So don't wait until you're ready. Don't wait until tomorrow. Within the next 24 hours, make a list of at least 12 opportunities and start speaking up more, both at work and in your industry. Remember that nobody knows how brilliant you are if you keep it all in your head. Nobody knows how you can help them if you're hiding behind your keyboard. And nobody knows that you are the expert if you don't sound like and look like the expert. Be brave and make the transition from the audience as a conference delegate to speaker on the stage as the English speaking expert. Who do you know that you would love to see on stage? Why not forward this episode to them? It will achieve two things. It will give them a vote of confidence and some easy first steps to get going. So, it was great nerding out with you today about another corporate communication topic. Coming up on the show are the discipline of communication and community by design and an architectural approach and dressing the part. I have some great guests lined up, so be sure to subscribe and that way you won't miss out. You've been listening to Corin Wilhelm on the Experts Speak English podcast. Have a great week and be the very best communicator that you can be.